Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, this is Ground Zero, celebrating Loving the Movement. Hosted by Anaya Betts and Reginald Clintons, we celebrate by recognizing the small steps and leaps and bounds of individuals and others led us further away from slavery and closer to full freedom, from mass incarceration to efforts in justice reform and in society at large. Today, we'd like to cover the subject of recidivism. And what recidivism is individuals who have been previously locked up reoffending and going back to prison. And it's something that is a barometer and a measuring stick of the success and failures of rehabilitation within the system, and it has an impact upon the societal crime rate and crime rate. And it also corresponds with the level and degree of crime reduction. If you would like to call in to make any comments while Anaya and I are talking and discussing various issues as they relate to recidivism, please call in to 657-383-1630. That's 657-383-1630.
Nice. Yeah. Ask Reggie, what does it feel like when you see people coming in and out since you've been there a while? And, you know, like, first, like, what's the mentality do they have when they come in? Do they promise to get cleaned up and then go back out and they come back? Like, how do you guys deal with that on a inside manner within prison?
To be perfectly honest, whenever somebody gets paroled and they leave, I'd be happy for them, but I'd be jealous at the same time. Because I'm saying I want to leave too.
Right.
And I wish I could go.
Mm-hmm.
So I wish it was me, but since it's not me, I'm happy that somebody is leaving.
Right.
When I first got to Potosi, there was nothing but people with life without, or ain't never going home, and people on death row.
Mm.
There was nobody leaving. Everybody around you were going to die in prison.
Oh, my goodness.
And it's like, yeah, and that's one of the most horrible feelings in the world. So that's the doom and gloom of what I was introduced to.
Mm.
And the hope of what I was introduced to, so when I first came to prison. So I mentioned it because I love being around people and seeing people actually go home, because it lets me know that it's possible.
Right.
But that's the background to how I feel about people going home.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason I bring that up is because you asked me how do I feel when people come back.
Pissed, right?
I'd be upset, and I'm smart. There is absolutely nothing.
How do y'all deal with those knuckleheads? Because I know from on the outside for us, on a family-wise, because I have incarcerated family members. I have incarcerated friends. You know what I'm saying?
And maybe monitored and recorded.
And we have this whole phenomena of what we call jail talk, right? So our family members, we know how they act when they on the outside. And as soon as they get locked up and those phone calls come, here come the, I'm sorry, I got it, I understand, I'm going to do better, we going to make this work, I just need help, I need support. And then they get out and they be on the same bullshit.
It comes from a lack of impulse control.
Mm, okay.
It comes from lack of a plan.
Mm.
And that's the difference between, you can tell when people are likely to come back when they don't have a plan. And I'm talking about, forget about that they have a support system.
Right.
System that's not coming back.
Because
they have a plan. They've been mapping some things out. They can put some things. They've been putting some things on paper. They've been reading some books and they've been laying groundwork because this is not living. And I'm saying they hate prison. I hate prison.
Right.
Tell the people that's not coming back.
Right.
That's how I can say I'm not coming back to prison. I hate prison.
Right.
And the reason I hate prison is because the biggest thing I hate about prison is how selfish it is. And one of the things I noticed, because I'll be watching this show called Love After Lockup, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's this one dude over there, and his first day out from the halfway house, instead of going kicking it with his family who had been waiting on him for years, this fool went and got some burgers to take back to the halfway house for his partners that he was locked up with.
Mm-hmm.
And then didn't get back to visit with his family till 1 o'clock in the morning.
Mm.
That right there told me, oh, man, you on your way back.
Mm.
Because your heart and your mind is focused on people that are not focused on you. You're the last thing anybody thinking about up there in the joint after you get out.
Exactly.
You're trying to impress people. Your focus is on impressing people. And a lot of times, that's one of the, other than drug addiction, that's one of the main things that drives people to engage in criminal behavior because they want to be that dude.
I can relate to that. Right. Right.
If everybody know what it is I'm doing, everybody know I stole that car and I'll be selling dope.
Right.
Everybody know I jumped on John Jacob Jacobheimer Smith on that parking lot and took his money.
Mm-hmm. Because you got to flash it.
Right. And then I'm saying I'm riding around in all the whips. Come on. I'm saying it now, man. That's why they get caught and they go to prison and then they be in prison talking about what it is they did on the street and be bragging about their criminality. But that becomes a person's identity. When that becomes your identity, that's what it is that begins to lay the groundwork for you to resent, for you to come back.
You have 1 minute left.
Okay. So, real quick, Reggie, real quick, how is it, like, do you guys only deal with people who serious and that y'all know got the game, or do y'all coach and try to get a handle of those knuckleheads, and, what is that, or do y'all, like, ignore, are y'all on two different sides of the prison type shit, like, is it a divide and conquer type deal, or do y'all have things that y'all try to do to try to knock some sense into these kids?
I'll reach out to the ones that ask questions.
Because
if you're not interested in getting help or finding a different way, I'm not that good of a salesman where I can make you.
Thank you for using Securus. Goodbye.
Gotcha. All right, so we're going to get Reggie back on the line very, very, very shortly. He'll be calling back. But I just want to enlighten you guys with why we are really talking about this issue, right? And that is because for a lot of this, right, it's what he just said. It was what Reggie said. They are glorifying the streets right now. And when I say they, I'm talking about those that get into this cycle of recidivism. Seems as if they can't get out of it. They are stuck.
an offender
the in and out,
Jefferson
in and out
City
until
Center,
the bars come down and the lights and come off and they're stuck in prison forever.
And
they're facing...
They're
facing life without parole.
You may start the conversation now.
Okay. Yeah. And the reason why we are really talking about this is because I feel in my gut and in my heart that it's only so much we can do on the outside when somebody is glorifying the streets and glorifying prison. I know firsthand because I have a friend and I had no real like insight to what my friend and how he felt was because number one, he hid it so well. He was able to basically morph his character. When he came around me, he was a different person. When he was out around other people, he was a different person, right? So I didn't understand it, but he truly glorified the streets. And I'm just now getting the full picture of what his mindset was. So at first, I really didn't know. I really didn't understand. I'm like, bro, don't you know right from wrong? Don't you know? You know what I'm saying? But he wanted to be that guy. He thought that guy was so cool. That guy who could beat somebody up on the spot. That guy that could make a plan, rob a bank, run from the cops, get away from the cops, crash the car, run away, shootouts, all type of shit, right? Having guns. He thought that was the person to be. And I had to put myself not in his shoes per se because I don't feel as if I glorify that, but I have to ask myself, what do I glorify? What image do I look up to? And that brought me to the space where, for me, I'm an athlete. I'm naturally athletic, and how I'm able to have my ability for athleticism is the fact that I look at pros, and I want to emulate those pros, and I do the things that they do, and I make myself feel as if I'm already there, so that the natural talent just spills into me. It's like I kind of hone in on that wavelength, right? That energy. And I have to say, right, if I wanted to be an athlete so bad, would I do anything to do become that athlete? In a sense, yes, I would, right? And that's where you see people having drive and when people have drive to be better. Now, it's a difference when you have a drive to be bad, right? It's only so much you can do on the outside when somebody has set themselves in a state. And it's not necessarily hopelessness. It's just glorifying the streets. And I think we need to get out of glorifying the streets. And I don't think prison should be used as a tactic to show people that they shouldn't glorify the streets. It should be actually a tactic that when those people who glorify the streets are put into prison, I think they should see, number one, right, that people their age who are doing those things, they need to see strong male figures who are able to say, I did those same things, right? And I'm here. And you can't go nowhere until you fix that perspective. And I feel like everybody should have a chance to get out and redeem themselves. And if you can sit somewhere and realize I'm not going anywhere, I'm just sitting, my life is flashing by. That is the thing in the point at which you will then redeem yourself, right? And I understand that like prison can't be holding cells until people figure that out, and then we have all these policies in place where it's like, oh, this is the time you get, this is the time you serve, you get out. No, right? I don't feel like prison should be that. I think the moment you start building yourself up and deciding you don't want to come back, that's the moment you are on your road out the door to prison. But the moment you keep fighting, you keep doing, it keeps you there. It puts you further into the pot, and you have to work your way out. I feel like that's the only type of trajectory to get people who glorify the prison system out. They need to be sat down. They need to be removed from the situation and the subject, and they need to see that they are going to waste their life away doing what it is they're doing. Go ahead, Reggie. How do you feel on that?
Yeah, what you were touching on is exactly what it is I wanted to touch on and get into. Because when it comes to changing your life, right, what I stopped with was as far as reaching out to the youth. And what I was about to say is you can't reach somebody that don't want to be reached.
That's true.
That they have a problem.
That's true.
And that brings us to the pivot that you're talking about, right? And what I call the pivot is self-evaluation and
self-actualization. Yep.
Because see, the thing is you have to do self-evaluation on who you are and where you at. That's what I'm saying. Them two things are the key to success in anything in life. Whether you're a recidivist, whether you're a convict, whether
yep.
you're somebody that's in college right now,
yep.
you have to be able to analyze yourself
yep.
and figure out and visualize yourself
yep.
being the person that you need to be.
Yep.
Because in life, right, you want to have a happy marriage, you want to have a happy life, you want to have a successful career on Wall Street, you want to be a doctor. You have to become the person that fit into that lifestyle.
Yep.
So you have to evaluate where you at, where the gaps is that you need to fill. And then after you figure out what those gaps are, you need to bring that to actualization.
Yep.
So it's self-evaluation and actualization.
Yep.
So a person has to honestly evaluate themselves. Like you was talking about your friend where he got one foot in the street.
Mm-hmm.
But he didn't evaluate himself. He know what life he's trying to live, but he wanna live.
Yep. Right?
But what he wasn't doing was working on becoming the person that fit into the life he wanna live.
Yep.
Your life will never change if you remain the same person that you are.
Mm-hmm.
Your life is going to remain exactly as it is unless you change.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, I've come to grips with realization with this through a lot of different programs and stuff that they have in prison, because I've reached out to evaluate myself, to understand myself, to actually take these tools and put them to work so that I could evaluate and understand myself, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because it is a process. Healing is a process. Changing is a process. And it is something that you don't do alone and you can't do alone.
Right.
Teamwork makes the dream work. Just like me and you have been doing this show, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we've been bouncing things off of each other and coming up with different things off of the earth and evaluate things.
This call is from a correctional facility and may be monitored and recorded.
And so we be feeding off of each other. And my mama said that if you want to see your future, look at the people around you.
Mm-hmm.
That's how you see your future. Whoever you surround yourself with, that's what your future gonna look like.
Mm-hmm.
The direction you're trying to move in is based upon what your foundation is around you right now.
With the streets comes with fast money, right? And it can be like it's almost like a placebo or like a little a veil that is having this false reality around yourself when you're in the streets. Because you can hang around the toughest criminals, right? They got all the money, all the cars, all the women, right? And you can be in these... Exactly. So you're surrounded by this clique that is praising and glorifying what you guys are doing. So you, in a sense, you think, right, this is the crowd I'm surrounding myself. We get money. That's all we do, right? We get all the women we want, We do all the things we want to do and don't can't nobody tell us we can't do it. We be knocking niggas out, right? That veil, that comes crashing down, right, when all your bad things you have done catch up to you. It's like you're running away from a ghost or a shadow, and it's going to be chasing you. And a lot of people who live that lifestyle, have changed that lifestyle, can attest to the fact that whenever they are in the sheets, it feels like they are running away from something. And that thing that you are running away from is basically yourself and this character that you have, this demonized character that you have put up. And what you are trying to do is keep a sense of reality or realness in what you are doing, when really what you are doing is nothing more than death knocking at your door the whole time. You chasing death, and death is chasing you, and you running from it at the exact same time.
You know, the reason I bring up that is death, right? Because if you ain't out there getting high and secretly glamorous dope fame, because there's a lot of people who are glamorous dope fame.
Yep.
Street. They don't look like dolphins, they don't smell like dolphins, they don't dress like dolphins, they don't bob and roll like dolphins.
Okay, yep.
They got those whips, those words that's off the chain.
Yep.
They chase and run away from they don't have. Right? And all truth at the end of the day. That's why even if they slang in ounces and snort grams, you still a dolphin. And sooner or later, the habit gonna catch up with you, and you gonna fall off in one way or another, because you gonna be high. I'm saying, lose analysis, all that types of stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's, but what I'm getting at is the seduction of it, right? It lures a person away from their true self. It just drowns out a person's happiness.
Yep.
And it gives them the creation of illusion of power and influence.
Yep.
within your crowd.
And an illusion of happiness. Because every time you drink, every time you get high, you just trying to drown away sorrows and things that you know that you did that was wrong as fuck, right? All you trying to do is drown away. So one minute you happy and the next minute you bent over a toilet somewhere feeling shitty, and you chasing a high that you will never get back again.
And what it is that a person is really running from and throwing away is home.
Yep.
That's what I call being in the streets, because
yep.
you jumped off the porch.
You jumped off the porch. Home. Yep, you left home. Ooh.
Of home. And when I say the comfort of home,
you gave me shivers, man.
I ain't talking about the soft stuff in the lane. Because you got a lot of men who are dangerous.
Yep.
A man and a gangster are just as dangerous as one another. There ain't no such thing as a gangster that's more dangerous than a man who's more dangerous than a gangster.
That's true.
But there are a lot of people in the streets that they feel their power and think it's manhood, and it's not.
Mm-hmm.
It is the power you don't give a fuck. But not giving a fuck is not power for real.
Mm-hmm.
That's surrender to your misery.
Yep.
And you turn to the comfort that I'm talking about is the comfort for your heart and your soul.
And peace. You will never find peace. You will always be in a constant state of distress.
For your heart. You got, ain't no love lost in the streets.
Nope.
You can't let yourself love. You can't let yourself love. You can't let yourself love them all.
Nope.
You can't let yourself love nobody.
Because it's always going to be that thought in your mind. Will this man, if this man changed up on whoever else and went and killed his best friend, is he going to do that to me? Right?
Oh, man.
That's the worst feeling, when you can't trust the niggas that's sitting right next to you.
Hey, it's people, man. I know somebody who, they behind the screen, hit them in the back of the head, they survived. They hit them in the back of the head, slunk them in their car. And to this day, he can't stand for nobody to sit behind him.
Look at that, man. Come on now. This is not to be a lecture session, right? This is to shed light on, we said pivotal things, right? We talked about not being able to have peace, right? We talked about the fact that the what comes with glorification of the streets is your loss in your sense of home and comfort. You lose that peace. You don't know what that is anymore. You don't know what it feels like to be loved. You don't know what it feels like when somebody genuinely wants you. So you become your worst enemy. This is what we're talking about. We're not trying to lecture you. We're not trying to, like, we don't have time for that. You know what I'm saying? This ain't no us just thinking that the decisions we make are better than yours just because. You know what I'm saying? It's not no power level game to it. It's just simple facts. Simple facts. Simple facts. We want you to realize it before it's too late. Because prison... Exactly, because prison and relinquishing your rights over to these white folks is not what you want, bro. And then you also don't want to be 10 feet under in a casket. You also don't want to be 10 feet under in a casket, because then all of that you have built up, you got to realize people love you, right? So all that you have done, and when you have passed away, your legacy diminishes with you, because now people feel like it's better off that you are dead than to be alive, because it was so much chaos. So now everything that you have, all of your potential is gone. And now people think you are better off gone and dead. That's terrible. Your legacy, your children, all of that, they don't have anything to assume of yours because you chose to leave the comfort of home.
What I like to add is there's a difference between living and surviving.
Mm-hmm.
To survive, all you got to do is continue to eat, drink water, and sleep.
Yep.
Go through the motions of keeping your heart beat.
Mm.
But to live is to enjoy the quality of life and the quality things and the quality time with people who care. And to enjoy the things that are meaningful to you and enjoy the accomplishments. Living is a whole lot different than just survive.
Yes.
And I encourage people to live. Live.
Live. Live.
I want to let you know I love y'all and I encourage y'all to elevate y'all's humanity and increase y'all's humanity. And one of the ways you can start with that is in prayer.
In prayer.
I remember I was hurt so much I couldn't cry. I prayed to God to help me cry so that I could start reclaiming my heart and soul.
Well, that's all that we have for today. This has been Ground Zero with Reggie Clemens and I Bets, and we'll see y'all next Monday at 1:30.